and it's just clicking past 8:15. So I've got Michael here for the movie reviews. How you doing, Michael?
Hi, how are you? I'm pretty good. I'm well rested. I actually managed not to see a midnight session of Star Wars last night. I managed to get to there was a screening at 6:30 last night, which I managed to catch. Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker, which I will quickly talk about. The one starring Daisy Ridley, Carrie Fisher, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac and John Boyega, and it's directed by J.J. Abrams again. It's written by committee after the negative reaction to Rian Johnson or Ryan Johnson's The Last Jedi. Look, I'm not going to reveal too much about this one except to say Carrie Fisher's death was handled as well as to be expected. And look out for some appearances from some old friends. There was an opportunity for this film to go to a much more ambiguous direction, but given the negative reaction to some of the plot lines explored in The Last Jedi, the writing committee and Disney obviously seem to have decided to play it safe, both with the storyline, which seems to happen in Fast Forward, even though this is the longest Star Wars movie ever, and many of the scenes seem to be almost shot for shot recreations from the original trilogy.
Right.
Yeah. Look, for me, the highlight of the film was Adam Driver and Daisy Ridley's as Kylo Ren and Rey. Easily the best part of the film, their battle of wills, minds, and, of course, the Force. Absolute highlight. Like I was saying, look, the adult in me really wanted the film to go in a more complicated, ambiguous direction that I've alluded to. But the seven-year-old in me who saw Star Wars in the very same cinema complex back in 1977 was pretty happy with the outcome. And I don't know that it's really fair to judge these films as an adult, because I think they kind of were originally written for children. Anyway, The Force is there with The Rise of Skywalker, but maybe not enough to lift it to the great heights expected.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's probably about the only film that comes out today, but there's plenty of films coming out next week, starting on Boxing Day. One of them's Jojo Rabbit. That's Taika Waititi's comedy about a young boy in the Hitler Youth whose eyes are open to the grim realities of war, fanaticism, and anti-Semitism. Look, I really wanted to love this film, but I just couldn't get past a lot of the really hateful dialogue in the film. I mean, I get that the film is ridiculing mindless and irrational hatred, but I just couldn't help but squirm at some of the really unpleasant words coming out of characters' mouths in the guise of comedy. It felt really, really unpleasant. And it actually kind of lacked the subtlety of something that Mel Brooks might have produced. It surprises me to say that too. That's all I'll say about Jojo Rabbit. Move on to Jumanji, The Next Level, another film coming out on Boxing Day, the follow-up to the highly successful and entertaining reboot from 2 years ago, Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Of course, the kids who actually look like they're in their mid-20s now, even though they're supposed to be about 19, they get sucked into the game again, but this time they're joined by Danny DeVito and Danny Glover, which means that we get two additional characters in the game, Awkwafina playing a thief called Ming and a horse. So we get a human playing a horse.
Right.
You know, plus, of course, we get The Rock, Jack Black, Karen Gillan and Kevin Hart as well. Does Jumanji The Next Level really take it to the next level? Only in maybe schlocky sentimentality, but the action sequences and CGI are still pretty spectacular. Chase sequences featuring some angry ostriches, which look like cassowaries in this film, and some enraged mandrills are highlights. The rest of the plot pretty much works out like a video game that you might have played on your computer or your video game console back in the late 90s. It's not as good as the first one, but I'd say very high likelihood of another sequel. Portrait of a Lady on Fire. French drama written and directed by Céline Sciamma, or Sciamma. It stars Noémie Merlant, Adèle Haenel and Luana Bajrami. It's the 18th century, and artist Marianne, played by Merlant, has been commissioned to paint a portrait of young Eloise, played by Haenel. Without her knowing it, it seems Eloise didn't cooperate with the previous artist, as she doesn't seem too keen to get married. As Marianne and Eloise get to know each other, it soon becomes obvious why. Even though it takes an age to get there, lingering glances, soulful stares, tantrums, pregnant pauses, words with double meanings, all lead to the love that dare not speak its name, especially in the 18th century. This is a fairly slow-moving drama, but certainly a more than acceptable offering to the light affair that's usually available on Boxing Day, like the two previous films I've just mentioned. In fact, the film moves so slowly, you wonder if a lady is going to catch on fire at all. This certainly isn't Blue is the Warmest Colour, if you know what I mean.
I do, very much.
Did you catch that one, did you?
Yes, a few times.
That's another one probably not to take the kids to at Boxing Day. This film could have used a bit more kindling and perhaps some dry wood. It's a very, very slow burn. Cats. What can I say about Cats that comes out on Boxing Day? Well, nothing as it turns out, as there's still a review embargo until 11 a.m. Maybe I'll add my thoughts a bit later.
Oh.
I'll move on to New Year's Day. There's two cracking films coming out on New Year's Day. One of them is The Gentleman. Guy Ritchie, you've done it again. It's only taken 21 years since Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, but he's finally made another good film. He's gone back to his gangster hustler roots with this one, and Hugh Grant actually really steals this film as a sleazy private investigator slash photographer. This is certainly my blokey highlight of the Christmas New Year period. I say give this man some more money to make more movies. I doff my hat to The Gentleman. And finally there, Little Women. Greta Gerwig has done a cracking job at remaking this much remade story. There's a lot of jumping around in the timeline that makes it a much less plotting and predictable reimagining of Louisa May Alcott's classic novel about four girls coming of age after the Civil War in America. It's definitely a more 21st century take on the story and the characters, obviously, especially coming from someone like Greta Gerwig, but there's certainly enough elements of the original story to keep purists happy. Little Women, you'll enjoy yourself heartily and find what isn't always the case, that your granted wish is all you hope.
I'm very excited for Little Women as well because I'm a huge Meryl Streep fan. I know that she plays quite a role.
Oh, she's very formidable in this one.
I'm very much looking forward to it. Michael, thank you so much for coming in. For the last movie review of 2019?
Yes, I'll be back in 2020 at some point.
Good for a new decade of movies.
Always looking forward to it.
Thanks, Michael.
Pleasure.
Would you look at the time?
Oh, it's after 11 a.m. I can give you some thoughts about Cats now. Some thoughts and some questions. Well, okay, well, here are my thoughts on Cats. First of all, why is Idris Elba's McCavity the only cat to have eyes like a real cat? Yeah. It all looks a bit like Island of Dr. Moreau, kind of weird, these cat people, but they all have human eyes, except for Idris Elba. Another question I have, what is this movie actually about? Have you seen the musical?
Yes, I have.
Did you have any idea what it was actually about?
No, but that's the whole thing about Cats.
Once we get through introducing the characters, I just had no idea what's going on.
That's all it's about. Literally, it's just about the guy's cats. There's no plot. It's just, here are my cats.
Yeah, cats dancing around and singing a lot. The highlight of this film, Francesca Hayward as Victoria, is really rather good. She's a future star. Then who gave old Deuteronomy, played by Judi Dench, all the power? Like, why has everyone decided she gets to a point who goes to cat heaven or whatever it is, wherever they're going to? I didn't get this. And why do these cats have such stupid names, like old Deuteronomy or Jenny Any Dots or Bomb Bull Arena, Rum Tum Tiger, Rumpel Teaser, and Munker Strap on. I'm not sure what that name is. Don't people just give their cats simple names?
In Australia, maybe, but not over there.
Well, I guess not. Maybe in London they name their cats differently. If you love Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical, you will probably think this film is the Cat's Pajamas. But I just couldn't watch Cats without being reminded of that old fast forward sketch that you can find on YouTube these days from the late 80s, early 90s, featuring Steve Vizard and Michael Veitch as two cats-loving airline hosties. Just look it up on YouTube and you'll see what I mean. For me, Cats was a bit too nonsensical and just plain boring at times. Straight to the litter tray for this one. More cats piss than cats pajamas.
But tell me, Michael, did you get confused by the CGI? Because that's what everyone was talking about when the trailer first came out.
Well, everyone was weirded out by it.
I mean, I still am.
But once you get used to it, it's just cat-like, weird-looking people dancing around. And just go with it. If you're into it, just...
That should be the tagline for the Cats musical. Just go with it. Michael, thanks so much.
Pleasure.